So, Unmani, first of all, thank you for giving us the opportunity to make this interview for Jetzt TV, which is the German portal. We are doing interviews with many people. You have been to Germany, you have been to the Rainbow Spirit Festival, I believe, or at least you have met with Devasetu. I have seen many videos with you already on the internet, either on YouTube and other portals. So thank you for your being present in the internet. It was very helpful for me.
Thank you.
And I'm particularly curious, just to start with a question, what is your core message? What do you have to say? Can you elaborate a little bit on this one?
Well, really, I'm pointing to who I am. And not when I say I'm not talking about who I am personally. I'm not talking about Unmani. I'm talking about who you are, which is the same as who I am. We so often overlook that in our lives, because we assume that our thinking and our beliefs are so meaningful. So we overlook the reality of that actually who I am is the only thing that is of any importance, and everything else is just appearing in that. So really, in the meetings and the retreats that I run, we are questioning the reality of beliefs and concepts and attitudes, fears and hopes and dreams, and seeing that actually underneath that, before that, all around that, actually who you are doesn't care about those beliefs and concepts and hopes and dreams. It is absolutely perfect, whole, free, love, everything that we ever long for. But it can't be understood and grasped by the thinking. So that's really, yeah.
So how can it be grasped and understood?
Well, it can't. It can't be, you see, because it's not an object. We're actually talking about literally nothing. So, of course, the mind doesn't know what to do with nothing. And what's the point of nothing? You know. But as a concept, nothing just sounds like nothing. It sounds boring or depressing. But actually, when you recognize the absence, the nothing that you are right now, you recognize that actually it's not a boring, depressing thing at all. It's full of life right now.
So how can anything that you call nothing be full of life right now?
It doesn't make sense, does it? Yeah, really, this, you know, to the mind, this is just craziness. It doesn't mean anything, you know. And why would I even want nothing? You know, why would I go searching for nothing? What do I get out of that? Yeah. Well, I ask people in the meetings and retreats, are you willing to die to everything that you think you know? You know, for everything that you've ever longed for. Are you really willing to die? You know, because while you're still holding on to your old ways of thinking and believing, there's no space to actually recognize what is beyond that. So that's why, you know, I ask people that, and of course people don't know how to die. You know, the mind comes in and says, well, okay, how do I do that? Maybe I'm willing, but show me the way, you know. Give me a method, a practice. And I don't give any practice or methods. It's simply through investigating now what is real, what you actually know, that actually who you are becomes obvious. That, in fact, you've always known that. You have to have always known that because it's you. So it's in a recognition, not an understanding, not a grasping. You know, that grasping of the thinking will never actually get what it wants. It will never be fulfilled. So it's only frustrating to hear this message from the mind, you know?
So I'm just trying to... So it cannot be got, it cannot be grasped.
No.
No. So it can only be, well, become clear when all falls away.
And even the waiting for it all to fall away is just a way of looking at it from the mind, imagining a future point when one day it's all fallen away. You know, you don't have to wait for that moment, so because it is already, despite all the thinking and the beliefs that are there.
So
we don't have to make all of those beliefs and concepts go away before we can recognize this. We can recognize this right now and see those beliefs and concepts for what they really are. Simply beliefs and concepts, they're not real.
So, knowing who I am, is there a risk that any answer that would come there can also only be a concept?
Yes, of course. The mind is very clever and kind of sneaky. You know, it can imagine some spiritual concept and fool itself into thinking that you understand it, you know, or that you've got something, you've realized something, when actually it's just an imagination.
So when you say you are nothing, or I am nothing, and you and me are the same, so nothing, basically, yeah? So, and that's already a word, and a concept comes with it.
Yes.
Yeah. But this points to the to to no concept at all.
Yes.
That's what you mean. Oh, that's how one could try to put it into words.
Yeah. The words don't do it justice, you know. Every word is wrong. Because we're pointing to something that is not an object. And the nature of words is that they describe objects in all forms. You know, even the most subtle objects are still objects. You know, what we're pointing to is not an object, it's not a feeling, it's not an understanding. In fact, it's not any kind of experience.
It is some kind of a non-touching anything situation.
You see how sweetly the mind tries to grasp it. You know? Okay, so it's a non-touching kind of thing, and it tries to imagine it. You know, how can you imagine literally nothing? What could you imagine? Like a black space, maybe.
It's a picture.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's not that. It's literally absence of anything. It's death. You know, that's what we're pointing to. We're talking about death. You are death. I am death, you know. That is who you are. It's a funny thing because, you know, we're usually so afraid of dying. We're afraid of talking about death. We're afraid of one day this body's going to die. But actually recognizing your true nature is recognizing death right now. You know, you may have heard, like, waking up is a kind of dying before you die.
I have heard this. And my experience is that it's beyond even death and life. Huh? So it's death and life don't make sense. This is just concepts again. So silence or even not even silence, because silence also imposes there is something out of silence.
Yes. I mean, like I said, every word is wrong. You know? It doesn't say it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just are playfully using words to attempt to point in that, you know, to it. But that's why I say it's a recognition. You know, these words either resonate with you or they're just an understanding conceptually, you know. So if they resonate, then that's what I mean by recognition.
There's some kind of a resonance there, resonating, yeah, that's the best way one can potentially put it, I believe. And so you give open satsangs, you have open satsangs where everybody can attend, somehow, I don't know, you're traveling around the world, and you also give retreats, which I assume are longer exercises.
I give week-long retreats or 10-day. I'm doing one coming up in November in Costa Rica for 10 days. I really enjoy the longer retreats because I really feel that it creates kind of like a pressure cooker, you know, where people have come there, they've made the commitment to be there for that amount of time, and together as a group, usually it's quite a relatively small, intimate group, and we feel quite safe with the group to really explore what is real, you know, and sometimes within that, a lot of uncomfortable emotion and sensation is experienced, because for so long we've been hiding behind either spiritual concepts or other concepts in order to avoid actually feeling a lot of uncomfortable stuff. So when we start to see the reality of those concepts, we see that they actually cannot protect us against feeling, then the feelings start to be felt. And it's a safe kind of container together to feel those feelings and know that they don't mean anything about who you are. You know, because who you are just notices those feelings. So that's what we do on retreats. You know?
So here comes the idea when you talk about feelings and things that we try to hide, trauma, yeah, so might appear.
Yeah.
Can they be dissolved during such retreats?
Well, actually, I find that in recognizing who you are, there's a recognizing that actually every belief, every feeling, every trauma doesn't belong to me. You know, it doesn't mean it's not felt and experienced fully in the painful way that it is, but it doesn't belong to me. And recognizing that fully actually takes some of the drama away from it. You know, it's still felt as a sensation, as an emotion, but without that extra story of me, it has the freedom to be there, to be fully felt, and even to be there forever, you know, because it doesn't mean anything about me. So it's welcome to be there forever. Who does it even upset? Who does it hurt even? You know? And then I noticed that actually in that absolute welcomeness for it to be there maybe forever, then there is also the freedom for it to maybe not be there forever.
It doesn't matter anymore, huh?
It doesn't matter whether it's there or whether it's not. Mm. You know, because who actually cares? Who needs it to dissolve? It's only the thinking, the mind, that would say, I want it to dissolve. You know, I have this spiritual idea that all of my traumas, all my problems, all my beliefs should dissolve. And then when that happens, then I'll be free. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is actually, right now, you are freedom itself. And in that, these problems and beliefs and fears and all of that appear. But they're not yours, so they're free to just be there. Why not? Who cares? That's freedom, you know. We're really talking about freedom that includes everything. Yeah. It hasn't got any limitations, you know. It doesn't say, I don't like trauma. You know, that's not included in freedom. It includes trauma, as well as all the nice and comfortable, loving, beautiful stuff. You know, it includes the whole spectrum of life, whether we like that idea or not, you know.
I believe that's the way it is.
That is the way it is, and you know, the sooner we realize that, the easier it is, actually, you know. While we're fighting with reality and saying, I don't want this pain, I don't want this fear, it shouldn't be here, then there's just an extra kind of fighting going on. Mm. But actually recognizing or facing the reality that, yes, this is here now. Deal with it. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. There's no escape from pain.
Mm.
That's life, you know. Mm. It's only going to get worse as we get older. Isn't it? Yeah. So may as well face it and feel it now. And see that actually it's not as frightening or painful as we imagine.
Mm.
It's just simply a sensation appearing in you.
Yeah, even this in you would imply there is something where it could appear in. But I think we are talking even beyond that.
Yeah, but that's, you know, you could imagine. If you use the imagination again, you might be imagining a kind of a container of which we're calling you. Yeah. But that's using the imagination again.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we don't need to bother with imagination. It's too much effort to imagine that.
That's why you say
go on.
Death or nothing. Yeah?
Yes, yes, exactly. It's a recognition of the death that you are right now that is beyond any concept of me and my life, or one day I'm going to die, or one day I'm going to wake up. It's recognizing this right now.
So this is so, at least in my memory, so bloody far away from the day-to-day experience of many. So on the other hand, it is freedom, and it is liberating when this vision can be taken, or I don't know how to express it in words.
Yeah, but you see, actually, what we're talking about includes whatever happens in the daily life. You see, when you say, oh, it's not your daily experience, but actually we're not talking about any kind of experience. So even if there's lots of thinking, for example, even if there's stress and tension and emotion, that is included as well. You know, recognizing who you are, you recognize that actually who you are just simply notices everything happening in your daily life as well. whether there's an experience of peace or an experience of craziness, who cares?
So this all sounds so very simple.
It is. That's the thing, you know. Usually we don't want it to be so simple. We want something really complicated, you know, so that we can say, oh, I achieved it, and I worked so hard to get here.
So
and if I've achieved it, then I'm really special.
So when I talk about such, when I say sentences like the ones that we exchange now a little bit at my workplace, then I see a lot of questions in the faces, and this cannot be true. So this kind of vision, it's just a vision, a direction of looking. I don't know. I cannot put it in other words. It's just
difficult with the words.
Not resisting against what is. Maybe that's a summary of all this.
And even feeling the resistance, including the resistance.
Yeah.
Sure. Life includes resistance. Yeah.
But it is so simple. It is in the end. It is so simple, but it is not general knowledge. Many people go through long processes to somehow see this, even though there is nobody who would see this eventually, finally. Let's use language. So as language, but not as pointing to the truth at the moment. Maybe.
Yeah.
So what are the first steps to shift the vision, to shift the directions of looking? What are your recommendations to start with? To enter
it's
into
it's a
this.
Joke, really, isn't it? You know? What kind of a question is that? You know, it's like you know, how would you? Why would you need any steps to be who you are?
It's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. And yet, you know, it can seem so complicated and so difficult when you're trying to figure it out. And I see people coming from that point of view, you know. And, it can seem just so impossible. And yet, you know, actually what we're pointing to is who you are already. It's not that you need to somehow achieve something other than you are, some other state. You know, the simplicity is recognizing, oh, I'm already here. Of course I'm here. This is, you know, of course I'm alive. You know, that's all we're talking about.
At the same time, we say we are death. We are nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's a paradox, you know. This is death playing at being alive.
Yeah.
It's one way of saying it, you know. Yeah. Yeah, we know this already, you know. A lot of people maybe have had a kind of experience of feeling like the whole of life is a bit of a joke, but they don't really know what to do with that knowing, that feeling. Or maybe like the sense that who they really are hasn't grown up, even though they may have grown up and they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. Actually, who they are is still a child, you know, has never changed or been touched by the fact that the body seems to have grown up.
Yeah, how could it? I mean,
yeah, exactly. It's beyond time, you know. It's beyond everything. It's simply noticing everything happen. And so, in a way, you know, it is a kind of a shifting, in a sense, in this recognizing, because we so often take ourselves to be limited to someone located in a body, you know, and we assume that the edge of who I am is the edge of my skin, you know. We assume that's our boundary, yeah. And so others, another person, is outside of us in some separate bag of skin. And actually, what I'm saying is quite radically different to that. It's kind of turning that inside out. So in fact, the sensation that you might feel on your skin is not the boundary of you. That sensation is in fact felt in you. So the location that we believe we are is in fact not located in there. It's not in that bag. There isn't a bag, you know, that the sensation is in you. So it's completely the other way around to the way we normally assume, you know, what we normally believe about ourselves. And then other people are visual appearances in you. You know? And then if you touch them, then there's a sensation appearing in you, just like when you touch your own hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And when you sense some sense of another person, or you can empathize with another person, so that sense is appearing in you as well. In fact, there are no other people, because it's all in you. So we always know this. It's just somehow we complicate it.
So
and
even not any people at all, basically. Yeah?
No, you could say that you're absolutely alone. There's no one here but you.
Yeah, but as who then? Yeah.
yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's not you who you think you are, because that would be interpreted by the mind as being, oh, that's terribly lonely. I'm all alone. Yeah, but you're not alone in that lonely way. You're alone, and everyone is appearing in you, including who you think you are.
Yeah.
Including this body, you know, this body is also appearing in you.
Yeah.
This thing is appearing in me. And that's recognized, or it's not, you know. Oh, and if it's not, then it's just some mental game. And if it is, then it's so simple. Then we laugh, and that's it. It's not some, you know, big awakening, or now I'm enlightened, or something like that. You know, you never arrive anywhere. Because if you believe that I've now got it, you know, I've arrived, I'm awakened now, then it's actually simply believing in thought again. You know, it's believing in a label that I have arrived. This experience now means something about me.
Mm-hmm.
But how could you ever possibly know that you've arrived anywhere without believing in thought again?
Mm-hmm. That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, it's quite disappointing for the spiritual seeker.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Because the spiritual seeker wants to arrive somewhere. The spiritual seeker wants to get enlightened. You know, he wants to get the final prize after all the years of hard work.
Mm.
But there is no prize, because the prize is already here. Always has been.
It always will be.
Yeah.
Cannot be other than that.